This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Want entertainment designed just for you? Then check out customizable streaming TV from Xfinity. It makes your life simple, easy, awesome.
Xfinity gives you customizable streaming TV options. Enjoy the most free shows anywhere on any device, and even access your streaming apps right on your TV with X1. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today to learn more. Restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it's Keith.
And this is Jesse.
From New Player Has Joined.
Guys, if you're familiar with Banter, the comedy app that lets you in on conversations between hilarious comedians, the people who made Banter have now made the Banter Minute. If you're a true crime fan, go to banterminute.com/truecrime, and you'll get a one-minute rundown of some cool and interesting true crime stuff every day.
I mean, the East Side Strangler just got caught. You want to know that immediately.
If you're a person who likes murder.
I love murder.
So guys, banterminute.com/truecrime. Just go there, subscribe. You'll get a one-minute quick rundown that'll make your day a lot better. Check it out, guys. banterminute.com/truecrime.
Doug Benson, hey.
Hey.
At the Limestone Comedy Festival in Bloomington, Indiana.
I'm creating a view for you so that your voice will let people know just from what you're seeing that we are in a small college town.
Which I find to be very lovely. How do you feel about
it? It's delightful, but you know it's different when school's in session, right?
I was thinking that today. I'm like, everything's so empty. It's so nice. There's parking. Like, this is what life is supposed to be. I feel like it's like the 50s.
The people who live here are in heaven for all of summer. Because it's warm, you know, but it doesn't get too hot. And they just have the run of this nice downtown area without all the... I mean, I like it here any time of year. I'll play here any time of year because I can put up with the drunken college students.
Yeah.
But it's intense. Like, they just get trashed at these bars down here. And when you come here in the summertime, like, school just finished like a couple weeks ago. So us being here now, we've just got like this quaint little town.
It's amazing. I mean, I don't go to a lot of festivals, but I've certainly never had this experience where I can walk out of my hotel room and get to every venue in under 5 minutes. It's just so small, and it feels like it really has that summer camp vibe. That
did Jared hire you to make an advertisement for his festival? It really is for comedians or audience. It's great because you can really get around easily, and it's been really interesting talking to people because people have driven hours and hours to get here, like from all over the Midwest to come to this strange city that. Isn't it weird that it's Eastern time zone?
Yes.
And we're in Indiana?
Yeah, like, I don't get that at
Indiana,
all.
Indiana, like, comes in and out of the central time zone for some reason. And so we're in, it feels so Midwest, but we're in the East Coast time zone.
How have your shows been? You just did a movie interruption?
Yeah, we interrupted Hoosiers, the classic high school basketball movie that takes place, of course, in Indiana, and it's about a small town. I think they changed the name for the movie, but it's about a small town that, you know, goes to the big game,
right?
You know, the state finals or whatever, it's a pretty serious movie. Like, the assistant coach is played by Dennis Hopper, and I'm assuming you haven't seen it.
I haven't.
It doesn't seem like it's in your wheelhouse to watch a movie from 20 years ago about a basketball team in the 50s.
Well, it's actually like very, this should be a moment in podcasting, because you have seen every movie and you're a movie specialist, and I'm like the opposite, where you could probably name a lot of movies right now.
Is that why you haven't been on Douglas Movies? Is it we both sense that you would be worthless?
No, I don't know. I mean, it depends. What
it's a comedy show first, and you're hilarious, so
you're
I'm
nice.
Sure it would be fine. But it is very trivia heavy, and I say this with all respect to women in comedy, but there's something about the woman that's decided that she's going to get up in front of a bunch of strangers, men and women,
yeah.
and tell jokes, is also not the same woman who nerds out on movie trivia.
I think that's so true.
Tig doesn't know shit about movie. Like, Sarah Silverman is like, the bar is set with her on this show, and the only reason she plays the game as well as she does is because she and I used to play it together all the time. Like, the Leonard Maltin game from the show was invented by me and her and Brian Posehn. We were just sitting around bored, and we just pick up a movie guide and play a game. But most lady comics, Chelsea Peretti is another one, like, they come on and they go, I'd rather do one of your other shows or whatever, because they don't want to, they're not interested in, like, Amy Schumer, whenever she comes on, she just sits there and tries to make all the jokes she can. She doesn't give a shit if she wins or loses or gets
cool.
anything right. She just thinks of jokes and says them. And one of the drunkest shows we ever did was me and Amy and Anthony Jeselnik, like, all got really drunk during a show in Baltimore. And it's, it's available for people to listen to. They have to pay for it or something because it's an old episode. But what was the question?
I don't know.
Going off.
No, that's exactly.
I just smoked with a ton of people because people after my shows, after the movie interruption ended, I went out and behind the theater, and people with different pipes and joints and things came up to me, and we just all stood around, and I love it because I can take pictures with people, but they're getting me high while we do it.
That's
like,
a great deal.
I said to somebody today, they were like, can I get a picture? I was like, you just got me high. Of course you can get a picture. You know, while I had my arm around him taking a picture, I was like, oh, this is such a pain in the ass. That, you know, the guy's practically holding me up, you know?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I feel like for me, sometimes people will bring me, like, Sour Patch Kids, or I've had people bring me my favorite pie after shows. But I feel like it's way more convenient to just have someone be able to get you high.
People bring me food a lot because, you know, food and weed go together. And sometimes,
right.
Sometimes it has weed in it, sometimes it doesn't. But in either case, I'm, like, turning it down left and right because I can't eat everything that people bring to me just as a normal person. But I've also... I've also tried to eliminate sugar from my life.
Oh, my
and,
God.
And everything people bring me has sugar in it.
How is that going? And how long has that been going?
It's been going for a while. I haven't lost any weight, but it feels great. It feels great to not, like, crave it.
Well, can you, like, expand more on this? Because I'm very interested. Because I've tried to do this.
I saw a movie called Fed Up.
Have I? Oh, I saw that. The Katie Couric one?
She's in it. Yeah. She produced it.
Yeah.
And does she do the voiceover through it?
Maybe.
So I saw it. It's so funny. Like, recently I was talking about it and I couldn't even remember the title. But it had such an impact on me because they say, I just like simple things. Like, every year I take a month off from drinking, you know, and it's just like, it's just simple. It's just like, just don't drink for a month.
Right.
And I can get through it because I know I'm going to drink again after the month is over. So they said in the movie, take 10 days off of sugar and see what happens.
Oh.
And so I was like, I'm in.
I'm starting
right now. I'm going to take 10 days off. It's a great excuse. And it's more about fake sugar. It's not about sugar in nature. It's about sugar that's processed and
like recreational
made
sugar.
Up and just, it's in everything. Like,
yeah.
Like, every dietary thing has a shit ton of fake sugar in it because it has to taste good but be dietary. So what they're doing is you're dieting on substances that who knows what kind of effect they're going to have on human beings over time.
Ooh,
you know what I mean?
So scared, and I know it all, and it's just so awful.
I hate it too. Like, I don't see any movies about how awful meat production is because I enjoy meat too much.
Yeah, food,
I don't
want
to have to cut it out. And that's part of the decision that I made. Was like, I watched that movie and I went, okay, 10 days without sugar hasn't been that bad. And as much as I love it, what is the point of eating a Pop-Tart or or, you know, or anything, any dessert thing, or, you know, as delicious as they are.
Because it stabilizes my mood.
Yeah. Well, that's also.
But that's a problem.
Yeah. It's true. It's comfort food. But I you know, that's switching. I just have switched to another thing that I am eating too much of. Which by is? Not eating sugar. Or several things. You know what I mean? Like, I just find myself eating bread at every meal now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because I can't have all the sugar
but
stuff.
But you're still eating, like, fruit and...
Trying to. Like, yeah. I really have to force myself because I was lucky in that my parents were lenient. It worked out great for me in a lot of ways. But in one way it didn't work out for me is I have no taste for anything that isn't candy.
That's
my parents didn't give a shit what I ate. I mean, they did give a shit, but I was just stubborn.
Yeah.
So I never got into, like, I'm teaching myself to like vegetables now. I have a food podcast, and I don't like a lot of things. I don't like condiments of any kind.
What?
The only condiments I like are soy sauce on sushi and maybe I'll think of another one.
No mustard, no ketchup, no mayonnaise, no ketchup.
Barbecue sauce. I like barbecue sauce.
God, I was gonna say that would be rough to get over.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. But also at the same time, like it's so freeing. I wish I didn't like a lot of things now because you know if I had such distaste for candy that I have for mayonnaise, I'd be set.
Yeah,
it'd be great.
You'd have glowing skin forever.
So I've just been the sugar thing is. I have to break it every once in a while because I have a food podcast and I can't tell the chefs, you know, don't bring anything with sugar in it.
Right.
I want them to do their thing and I want to try it. And also sometimes I'm just in a hotel room and the only thing is, you know, the mini bars, Reese's cups or something.
Yeah.
I definitely cheat. I'm not like completely sugar free, but... And also, like, vodka has some sort of sugar in it.
Well, I think that that's okay. Like, and that's kind of maybe how you're maintaining it, if you do let yourself have some here and there. I always idolize people who are like, yeah, I just have one square of dark chocolate after dinner, and then I'm good. Like, that, I feel like, is where I want to be and not need, like...
Right, but they're just saying that, probably. They're probably having a big old bowl of ice cream.
But they have yoga bodies, and you're just like, oh, I believe you. I think some people really are like that and they yeah. do moderation and they're fine. Yeah.
There's but... all sorts of weirdos out there. There's all sorts of so moderate weird. Weirdos, but I'm lucky that I think I have an addictive personality, but I've managed to find a few things that I can do with it that don't end up being a problem.
Right. Well, that's cool. That's very yeah. exciting.
Yeah,
how long has the no sugar thing been happening?
When did that movie come out? I think it was like
a while ago.
I think it was November of the year before last, I think, or something like
that. Oh, that's a really long time.
No, it hasn't been that long, has it? No, it was last November. I think it was last November.
Oh, okay.
So half, you know, approximately half a year, a little more.
It frustrates me that my mom always tells me when I was little, I never wanted dessert. I just wanted more of the food, but I don't know what happened. I think maybe college happened and I was lonely and... boxes of Pop-Tarts started piling
yeah,
up.
Yeah, Pop-Tarts are the best.
They really, they figure
and they
it
advertise
out.
Them a lot, which aggravates me because it just keeps reminding me of them. Because it's easy to go through your whole day without seeing a Pop-Tart if you're not watching TV.
That's really funny. When I was in high school, I first tried chocolate chip Pop-Tarts and was like, oh my God, my mind is blown. And then I found out that same day that I tried them that I had to wear a bikini for a play. And so I decided, I was like, this Pop-Tart was so good and I have to lose weight. I am going to eat only Pop-Tarts for as long as I can. And I made it 7 days eating only Pop-Tarts for every meal and I lost weight.
But also got kind of sick of them.
Got really sick and like needed a vegetable really badly. It yeah. taught me some lessons. But that's how good Pop-Tarts are. Like,
but also like you've switched up the flavors.
Of course. Yeah.
See, that's the thing. Like on Big Brother, they punish them by making them eat just peanut butter sandwiches for a week until they win another challenge.
Oh, I know. Do you watch Big Brother?
Not anymore, but I used to. I used to live for it.
I live for it currently.
I was like, when the reality craze came in and caught on and was huge. I mean, it's still going pretty strong, but in the early days of it, I was all about it. Like most reality shows, I watched every episode, and now I never watch any of it.
Can I tell you, Big Brother is holding so strong. It is so good.
The new season's already started?
No, it hasn't started yet.
It's about to.
I think it's about to, yeah. Okay. I've been watching for the last 3 years. I even went back, bought seasons of it on iTunes, and just watched, like, for days, binge watched. And you know how there's...
And
like,
do you turn on that, like, after dark?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sometimes. So into it.
Those, it's like, they give you nothing there. Like, you're really just watching a person.
You're really just watching sitting. Them go about their business or lack of
I
it.
I went on a tour behind and watch them in the house. That was very uncomfortable. Being there, watching them through the glass, you feel like, wow, these are animals.
Yeah,
they're treating people
really,
like animals.
Yeah, they're treating animals like animals because they also cast the most ridiculous people.
It's so good. I really want you to watch this summer. Like,
okay, I'll watch it if we'll get back together and podcast or something, because
it's so good.
Just watching it in a vacuum doesn't work for me. Because that's part of when I was obsessed with reality TV was when I had to have jokes about it all the time because I was on Best Week Ever.
Oh, that makes sense.
And now I don't have to joke. I don't have to know shit about Paris Hilton or the Kardashians or anybody.
Oh, man.
So it's really free.
Those were
it's
the glory
freeing.
Days. Shit.
Yeah. It was fun at the time. You know, I didn't mind making fun of Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton and that whole thing. Britney Spears, you know, when she shaved her head, I was on Best Week Ever.
Golden
so it was
age.
Like, yeah. I had one of my best jokes I ever wrote was a few weeks after that happened, I was like, hey, you guys, did you hear Britney Spears is getting back together? And then she did. Now she's got a Vegas show that I went and saw and I loved it.
I loved it too.
It's so much fun.
Oh my God. When did you go?
But no big screens with close ups of her face.
I know. That's the. Yes, I told
everybody gets to go. That's her over there.
Yeah.
And she seems to be doing everything.
Like.
Yeah.
And she doesn't
you don't even
say
know if she's singing.
Anything.
Yeah.
She doesn't go off script at all. Like, I would love to know, like, today I play with my kids.
I know. She should have, like, a little break where she just sort of talks about her
nothing.
Life.
Nothing. It's pure robot. Like,
yeah.
And the no screens thing really bothered me. And also, when I went, she was
did you have bad seats?
They were okay. We were, like, in the middle.
It's pretty massive.
Yeah. It wasn't too bad, but I was like, I would like to be first row if there's no screens.
I don't think she did a single song that I hadn't heard and know and could hum along. Maybe not the words, but... She's got some hits.
Yeah, girl.
It was so funny. And, you know, the same thing. Now it's just going to be a thing, you know?
What
and
you
I'm
mean?
Kind of excited about it.
What's just a thing?
Just
her there.
You know, mega music stars.
Doing Vegas.
Doing residencies in Vegas.
That is a fuck
You know
yeah.
what I mean? I haven't seen Elton John or Celine Dion, but I would in a heartbeat.
I know. Just
I would
today.
See any famous singer doing. I saw Rick Springfield when he had a show for a while at MGM
Whoa.
Grand. But I would really. I'm looking forward to.
Mariah Carey is going.
That's got to happen. J Lo's gonna. She's alternating with Britney. Like she's in the same space as Britney when
so
Britney's
good.
Not there.
That
I think.
Is, yeah, she is. She's going to Planet Hollywood.
Yeah.
Celine Dion is one. I got the DVD of it. But I want to see it live.
I wanted to see that Elton John red piano thing so bad,
that.
But I didn't get around
oh,
to it.
Man.
Where he, you know, he sits at a red piano and there's a giant screen that just like not only shows videos, but just all sorts of clips from his life.
I mean,
while he's performing. Like, Vegas is perfect for that shit.
We need Billy Joel in Vegas.
That would be good. But, you know, he kind of already did it with that Broadway show Moving Out.
Oh, that's true. Which
is that what
good.
It was called? Moving
yeah.
Out?
Yeah.
No,
that's what it was called. Moving
it was?
Out. Yeah.
Okay.
Twyla Tharp presents or whatever.
Yeah.
Choreographed by her.
That was one of the biggest disappointments for me in Broadway, my Broadway history.
Well, because it's boring, because it's all
so
dancing.
It's so boring.
Yeah.
There's no story.
I know. That, it's like, because you expect it to be a jukebox musical where there's like Jersey Boys, which is just the best show I've ever seen, personally.
Never saw it. I only saw
what?
The shitty movie.
Oh, the movie was so bad.
It's so bad.
That really was a bummer.
Hard to understand how they could have fucked that up.
You need, if you ever have a time machine, you just need to go back and see Jersey Boys. Oh, you can see it in Vegas.
I can still see it. No,
yeah.
it's still on Broadway. It's still in the West End in London. I'm going to London in August. I might see it there.
You will be so...
I can't... I watched Clint Eastwood's movie and go, oh, that's... that's a great story, and there's a lot of great songs.
Yeah.
How come there isn't more? How come it doesn't feel like a musical?
Why is it bad?
It just feels like a shitty episode of The Sopranos, like the one where they brought in a bunch of real celebrities and they played themselves.
Vincent Piazza.
Which Janine brought up with you last night.
Oh, wait, what? Oh, yeah, Sopranos.
Those episodes were terrible that she was in. Not terrible, but it was weird. It was a weird turn for... for those characters to be talking to Janine Garofalo as herself.
That does feel odd.
That was odd. That was a little jump to Sharky, and then they sort of moved on from it and totally recovered, and the show was great to the end.
See, I don't know a lot about Sopranos. My dad rewatches it obsessively, so whenever I'm home, it's like on and I catch some things, but I need to sit down and really get to know it for my in my own way.
I forget who were the other celebrities when they had that celebrity rush, because the idea was that Christopher Molisanti was wrote a script about his life in the mob, and it was getting made into a movie.
I mean, that's a fun plot.
I think Favreau maybe was involved. I think.
Here's to give you some context or perspective. I just learned who Jon Favreau is. And like, when I saw Chef on Netflix, and I was like, oh, that's who Jon Favreau. I was so surprised. I was expecting him to be this, like, hot young guy, and he was not that.
Well, he's always been a character actor.
Yeah.
And, but he, so you never saw Swingers?
No, but I tried watching
Rudy.
That. I but it wouldn't load on Netflix, but I do want to see Swingers really bad.
PCU, do you ever see that?
No.
That's a college comedy with Jeremy Piven, David Spade, and Favreau are like the main characters.
Oh, that sounds fun.
I like it. I have a fondness for it.
The one area of movies where I actually, I do feel like I've done some homework is like Hitchcock movies and some classics. That's where I kind of have a good time. I've seen a lot of Twilight Zone. I know that's not a movie, but...
What's your favorite Hitchcock?
I know it's hacky, but Psycho is just... I can rewatch it.
It's amazing.
It's so good.
It's really... did you ever watch the Gus Van Sant shot by shot?
Yes,
remake?
I did. That was actually... I saw that before I saw... I know. And the worst part about it...
I love that you still loved it after it being ruined by the other movie.
Well, because I get off on like the black and white, and just it's fun that it's like 50s. I didn't like that it was set in present day, the newer one. But my parents took me to see it, and we sat down in the theaters, and my dad was like, "Just so you know," and then spoiled the movie. He said, "Just so you know, it's the whole time, you know, whatever."
I love that you're not spoiling it for the one or two listeners out there that don't know, but that's nice.
Because it was so painful that happened to me, but. Yeah, and then I just watched
Stranger.
But it's
still such a great movie still loved
it. Yeah, I still really fell for it. And then Strangers on a Train.
Did you think when that was spoiled for you, when you saw the black and white version, that you didn't know that the Gus Van Sant had the same plot twist in it?
No, I knew that. I knew that it was the same. Which
so it was already sort of ruined.
Which was also weird, because I think that was my first experience with remakes. I'm like, oh, is this what a remake is? They just remake it? Like...
You know, in some cases, I wish they would.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's
kind of
more
fun.
But that's the thing about the creative arts and movie making is that, like, there's just so many little tweaks. There's so many things that go into a movie that, like, even something as seemingly surefire as let's just do all the same shots as Psycho, then when people look at it, they go, this isn't Psycho. This is strangely, it's synthetic. It's the fake sugar that's in everything that's supposed to be good for you. It's just weird, you know? It's just like how I feel about CGI. Like, everyone's excited about Jurassic World, and I'm not, because I think for my eye, every dinosaur is going to look like a special effect. And back when Steven Spielberg did his Jurassic Park movies, he brought in a couple times in the movie, it's a fucking giant thing that comes in. It's a real, you know, it's not a real dinosaur, but it's a, you know, it's practical. It's not CGI. It's not created just on the computer.
Yeah.
And that stuff is starting to make me go, well, I don't care. Because now you can make anything happen on a computer. But I want to see something that looks like real life and death, not a video game.
Yeah, I mean, you're someone that's really going to hurt when the robots take over.
Oh, I'm going to hate it. Robots are going to have the shittiest taste in movies. They're
going to
make bad movies. They're going to watch bad movies.
Are you at all excited for Jurassic World? Because I don't get, like, you know, I'm not the biggest movie fan, but I saw Mad Max, had so much fun, like, just as a general movie going
experience. Well, that's good.
That now I'm like, I have a taste for it, and I'm ready to see a great movie again.
I'd be shocked if you liked Jurassic World as much as, as Fury Road, but it's definitely got potential to be enjoyable. I just fear that the element of being scared by the dinosaurs is going to be gone for me. So then it's going to just be more of an esoteric experience of like, well, Chris Pratt is great.
Mm-hmm.
I love Guardians of the Galaxy. And that's the other thing, though. It's just sort of like, let's throw this guy that was a great hero in one thing into another thing. And it's like the writing might not be there for him, or they might not let him, you know, because I bet he ad-libs too pretty well because he's a funny guy.
Yeah.
But we'll see. But, you know, Bryce Dallas Howard, I guess, is in it. And she's, you know, every other movie she's been in has been awful. She's been in a Shyamalan, M. Night Shyamalan or two.
Wait,
she was in Lady in the Water, I think, and might have also been in The Village, yeah.
See, when I was still living with my parents, I saw a lot of movies. So I have like a weird era of movies where I've seen them all because I didn't have friends in high school and just went on dates with my family.
So that was like 2003
to 2006-ish. Yeah. Okay. Can you off the top of your head know all the movies that I've seen?
No, because that's my worst thing is years. Like, you know, like if you said to me what year was Titanic, I might be 10 98? Or 15 years or 20 years off. I don't know.
I think 98.
I'm terrible at it. Why did that stick with you? Was Titanic seminal for you?
Yes.
Because it's such a traumatic story.
Because I was a kid and Leonardo DiCaprio.
He's the best.
Not anymore.
Really?
Well, it throws you off when you're a 5-foot-tall Jewish girl and he only dates blonde models and
well,
one of them
yeah.
went to your high
his
school.
His personal life is probably disgusting, but his acting life is...
It's amazing. A disgusting personal life is actually okay with me. It's just the specific of, like, you only date models. I just feel so left out. Like, I want to at least know that I could have a chance if we were stranded on an island, but it's like...
I think you could.
I don't know.
I think so.
He has such a specific taste that it's really unfair.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, his taste, but I think that he could come around.
But
I think
Departed,
you had a shot with Leo.
The Departed, though, is obviously, like, that's one of my favorites that I can watch over and over again.
I think he's great. I mean, I like his level of commitment. Like you know, he committed to Great Gatsby, and, you know, he just kept calling his buddy Tobey Maguire. He just kept calling him Old Sport over and over again throughout the movie. And he committed to it. But I was just like, who would say that over and over again? Like, why does he keep calling him that, Old Sport? But...
he committed.
Yeah, and he's just like, you know, Baz Luhrmann, Quentin Tarantino, Martin Scorsese, Clint Eastwood, they all want to work with Leo. Like,
yeah.
Like Leo he's the shit, like, in terms of really committing to roles. But at the same time, he will never not look like a child.
Wait, really? You think?
Like when he played J. Edgar Hoover, the makeup was atrocious. Like, he is not. You cannot child his Hyde-likeness. You cannot hide his childlikeness. But which isn't necessarily a bad thing. Like in Wolf of Wall Street, he could be a young looking guy who's makes a lot of money and does a lot of drugs and has a lot of sex. That didn't bother me.
Yeah.
But I just think that, like, sometimes he's ambitious in his reach of what he can play. But that's true of any good actor. Any good actor should play something that's completely inappropriate and not right and maybe knock it out of the park. Or be embarrassed.
Maybe be embarrassed, yeah.
You know, like watch Sean Penn in I Am Sam.
Oh.
And I think he even got nominated for an Oscar for it. And it is insane.
Bad?
Yeah, it's, you know, they're making fun of it in Tropic Thunder. Did you see that?
I did see that.
Full retard. That's what they're making fun of I Am Sam.
Oh, I
like,
don't...
go watch it. It's astounding. He's even acting with mentally handicapped actors.
Oh,
He's pretending to be retarded in front of retarded people. It's insane.
That's so humiliating.
It's very weird.
Ugh, I don't think that people should do that.
No, and I've only thrown around the word retarded to be specific about what I'm talking about,
sure.
Not to disparage the mentally handicapped.
Cool with me. I get it. I wonder if Leo's baby face is what makes his dad bod so jarring to the world, because it just makes no sense. You know, like he's a crazy thing in our society we're not ready for. I think maybe I'll be the next Leo with a baby face and a dad bod. Do I have a chance?
Movie stars are just it's just, you can't even, it just, when it walks into the room, you recognize it.
Yeah.
You know, there's just people that are just like, and that's what's so funny to me about the Entourage movie.
What's your status on that, by the way?
Well, I haven't seen it.
Me either. I almost went to.
Dying to.
Me too. We should have gone.
But kind of dying to hate it a little bit.
I'm just dying to have fun.
But also get into it.
Yeah.
I just, to me, Ari Gold, I could just... Even though it tends to be one note, mm-hmm. I could watch Jeremy Piven do that forever.
That's cool.
I love watching him be Ari Gold. Even though he says things, the things that happen, like I've only seen the trailer, but he says at one point, because Vince wants to direct his next movie,
uh-huh.
And Ari says, if this movie doesn't succeed, you're over and I'm over. And that is absolutely not true. Every person that is a success story in show business has had a movie that bombed.
Yes.
Every single one of them. Julia Roberts, I don't care who the fuck.
But it's a movie. You got to have stakes.
Right.
You got to have stakes.
The stakes are for this fucking fake movie about how movies are being made and how important the stakes are.
Break the rules of movies.
It's so dumb, but I'm dying to see it because I like the flashiness of it. I can't deny that I like the notion of, you know, all these girls in bikinis hanging around.
Yes.
You know, it's not my life. It's not most people's life that I know. Like... But I've said this somewhere else, and I apologize for being repetitive, but if that guy playing Vince on that show had the potential to be a genuine movie star, he would be one.
That's so
that
funny.
Show went for 7 fucking seasons. They had a hiatus every time. The best he got was playing the boyfriend in Devil Wears Prada.
And it was
he was the girl part. All he did was sit around and whine about how they didn't see each other.
Oh my God, which was so endearing.
And he's a good actor, and yeah. I like him. I'm slagging him twice now, but he's not the movie star that they depict him in the show and the movie.
That's...
So it's the whole thing crumbles under that.
That's really
they needed a really charismatic guy, but they got it. They got really far, and there's a lot of big fans. And I'm just sitting back waiting for Spy with Melissa McCarthy to make more money.
95% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's great.
You've seen it.
Yeah.
Is it amazing?
It's really good. It's really violent, which is crazy because it's a comedy, but it's really like when people kill each other in it because it's a spy movie, it's really violent and in a funny way. And she's knocking them down. I mean, you know, not every Melissa McCarthy movie is great, but her pairings with Paul Feig, you know, they took the girl with Bridesmaids. They took the like kind of the girly movie and made it acceptable for everyone.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love Bridesmaids? With The Heat, they took the buddy cop movie and made it, you know, for, you know, with and for women. And now this one is like James Bond, but a woman who is, I don't think there's. Maybe there's a couple fat jokes in there, like maybe people insult her for being fat, but she doesn't make them about herself ever. And she is, it's hilarious. And, you know, every other character in it, you know, Jude Law is funny in it. Jason Statham is hilarious in it.
You know, you know who his girlfriend is?
No.
His girlfriend is the pregnant wife from Mad Max, Fury Road.
Whoa.
The most beautiful
Kravitz.
No.
Zoe Kravitz?
No, no, no.
She wasn't pregnant? Which one was
the
pregnant?
The blonde, Rosie Huntington-Whiteley.
Oh,
the blonde,
okay.
Pregnant one who, you know.
The pregnant one, yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that, that's a cute couple.
I'm sorry,
right?
I was too, maybe too focused on Zoe Kravitz.
Oh, is that's her jam?
No, she's, I like her, but she's, you know, she's been in other movies before, so I recognized her and.
Well, did you also know the redhead is Elvis's granddaughter?
No.
Isn't that crazy?
That's really crazy.
Exciting, huh? I get so excited.
I gotta go
this.
Watch it again.
Yeah. So they're a couple. I do want to see, I'm dying to see Spy now, especially because when I see a movie, I like my whole personality changes for a few days and I'm excited to like get into the spy mode.
It's, you know, Paul Feig, it really is like if the guy behind Freaks and Geeks got to make a James Bond movie.
That's cool.
With a woman. Like, it's really, you know, we'll see with the next one. I mean, I didn't think The Heat was amazing, but I loved Bridesmaids and Spy, and I think anything he does, and if he just keeps making movies with Melissa McCarthy, God bless him. I mean, I've liked her since back on when she was on Gilmore Girls.
Oh, I never watched that.
Yeah, when I was, I at the time I was working at the WB writing promos for them,
mm-hmm.
and the network that no longer exists. So
they're gone. Oh,
that's
the
a place of pride to be like one of the people behind a network that no longer exists. But.
Oh man, you have the
but
touch
I wrote,
of gold.
But I went, you know, I'd have to write promos and stuff for Gilmore Girls, and I'd have to watch every episode. And you know, a lot of guys probably wouldn't be into that show,
mm-hmm.
but I loved it because it's like, you know, it was just everyone talked real fast, and there were guy characters in it. It wasn't just girls, you know, and it wasn't like what's that one now. Pretty Little Liars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think I could watch that.
I haven't seen it, but I feel uncool for not knowing it.
Really?
Like, yeah, because all the cool girls know it and watch it. And
one of the girls in it's named Ashley Benson, so I feel like we're maybe kind of sort of related.
Of Spring Breakers fame. Hello.
That movie's amazing.
It is, and it also wasn't what I wanted it to be. Like, based on the posters, it
what did you want it to be?
I wanted it to be more girly, more drama, like it was a little too much of a music video for what.
And
I
all the girls just completely accept what's happening to them, except for Selena Gomez goes
yeah,
home,
which when she cried,
which
I'm
is
like,
disappointing because she's
I
to
know.
Me she's the cutest one.
I agree. That was a bummer moment
to see her in such a slutty outfit for as long as I did.
Yeah.
seemed like not right. It seemed like yeah, maybe she should go home. Maybe she should get out of this movie. I'm starting to feel like I'm not a parent, but I'm starting to understand why I wouldn't want my daughter. But the other three, they really, one of them is Harmony Korine's girlfriend. So
yeah.
That doesn't count.
She doesn't.
But the other two, Vanessa Hudgens and Ashley Benson, they tore it up. And I kind of didn't know what to expect from it either. And I walked away from it going, the repetitive loops of dialogue was pretentious, and I didn't like that. But that scene where three girls in bikinis with ski masks just lay waste to a bunch of people, and spoiler if you've never seen this movie, and James Franco, just like, he's their leader.
Yeah.
And when he gets taken out, they just keep going.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. It's really, it's weirdly female empowerment.
Somehow.
To a weird level, yeah, because it's like women don't want to go around killing people, but they go after it, and it's amazing.
It was a fun ride, and that's and I do have a limited edition Spring Breakers hoodie that I paid like $100 for.
And you wear, or is it in a glass case?
I wear it. I have nothing in a glass case, but I do have a Chris Farley autograph that is going in a glass case.
Oh, that's
soon.
A great
but
one.
But that's the only thing I think that I have.
Can I trump that autograph?
Please.
I have Christopher Reeve's autograph.
What?
Yeah, before he couldn't sign autographs
How
anymore.
How did you do that? Oh, no. How did you pull that off?
Just he was at a, they did this telethon. I was living in San Diego at the time, and they did a, the Old Globe Theater, which was an awesome theater that part of my love of theater and acting and movies and all that stuff came from. I had a drama teacher, Mrs. Myers, in high school, my high school, there was a program where you could take 4 years of drama. Like, you could spend an hour each day for the entire 4 years you were there in a room that was a little theater that she would just give us theater assignments, like scenes monologues and just stuff to do. And we would get up and do it. In the classroom was a theater with a curtain and everything.
That's fun.
It was called the Little Theater. And the most influential thing, you know, everybody has one teacher. Mm-hmm. And that was her for me. And what's the point of this story? What were we talking about?
We were talking about memorabilia. Hmm. Christopher Reeve's autograph. How'd you get it?
That's it. So this teacher, one of the things that she did is you could get extra credit, and I needed it because my grades were so shitty in every other thing. You could get extra credit if you went to the Old Globe Theater in Balboa Park in San Diego. She set it up. The ushers there are volunteers, as they are at a lot of theaters, where you seat people, and then when the show starts, you get to sit in an empty seat or on some steps somewhere, mm-hmm. and you get to watch the show. So she would give us extra credit if we went and did that at the Old Globe Theater, which is like, you know, a preeminent theater in this country. Like, shows that I saw there went to Broadway and stuff.
That's cool.
Like Into the Woods and Damn Yankees and stuff like that. So so I was doing that, and somebody set fire to the theater and it burned down to the ground. And they had on PBS in San Diego, they had a charity auction to raise money to rebuild it. And Christopher Reeve was one of the many amazing actors who showed up at that telethon. And me and my friends stood outside of that telethon and just got everybody's autograph. This was before any of us had cameras. We didn't have personal cameras.
Yeah.
So we got autographs of everybody. Like I, you know, names that if I mention them to you now, you'll probably be like, who? And I'll be embarrassed about how old I am. But like David Ogden Stiers, who played Winchester on MASH, was one of the people who came out, and Christopher Reeve, and you know, I probably got a few other autographs that night. But it was one of those things where we waited around for hours, and now whenever anybody waits around for me, I'm like, I know what that feels like to wait around for somebody to come out just to get their autograph. And I, you know, I respect it, but also know that it's a big fat waste of time. Because all you have is a signature on a piece of paper, you know?
That's
cool. But it's still cool, the memories you get from it.
Totally. I mean, you know? I have that too. When I, speaking of Jersey Boys, when I saw that on Broadway, I waited outside. By the way, I also went alone, and then waited outside like by the stage door to get a picture and an autograph.
Because it's just like the company that's doing it now. It's like not like anybody of note, you know what I mean? Like, now a lot of Broadway shows, when they're newer, have famous actors in
them.
Yeah. So there's a crowd waiting for them to come out afterwards. But like these shows that go and go and go, like Chicago and Jersey Boys and Mamma Mia, sometimes it's probably sad the number of people
waiting for them to come out. The original cast.
It was, and there was still nobody waiting for them?
There was, no, I was alone, as in like by myself.
Not with anybody else.
Yeah, but there wasn't a big crowd. There's probably only 7 or 8 people, but
it hadn't won any Tonys yet or anything.
No, I think it was like a little bit past its moment, and it was like Tuesday.
I see. Yeah,
like it was fading.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that like this, the longer a show lasts on Broadway, the more kind of
people do
it
rotate.
Becomes more like the touring companies, where, you know, no offense to them, but they have to basically do an impression of what's been the template, what's been set up. Like, I've seen some shows, like I'll occasionally see like a road company or an understudy or something, and it's like clear that they, it, you know, it's like what we were talking about earlier. It feels like an imitation of something rather than the thing.
That's
But sometimes they'll blow you away. Like the Book of Mormon is such a well-written show that when I saw it without Josh Gad and Andrew Reynolds, it was still really fun.
Can I tell you that I love musical theater? I did not like Book of Mormon. I did not have fun. I don't know if it was like not female enough for me personally, or if it was just so overhyped.
I'll tell
by
you,
the time I saw it.
You know what? All these things you're saying are really resonate with me.
Okay.
Because as much as I love it, most of my love came from seeing it again a second time, because that first time I was let down because people made it sound like it was the best thing in the world.
Yes.
And that, so that's hard to live up to.
Yeah.
And then I also, I was surprised by the lack of like female characters. Mm-hmm. Like it's a lot of guy, it's like a lot of Mormon guys and a lot of savages.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yes.
And there's some female characters, but they, to me, they didn't really pop. And so that's weird. It's like seeing Glengarry Glen Ross, the musical, or Reservoir Dogs, the musical. Yeah. I don't really go for a male testosterone right. kind of vibe.
Right. You want and a pretty lady up
there's
there.
There's little to no choreography in it.
Yes, there was no and dancing. There's one dance number.
That's shocking for a musical, but it makes a lot of sense because there's not a lot of choreography in every musical number on South Park.
Right.
Because it's a bunch of cutout figures just going like this, maybe, at right. most, you know, just waving their hand.
Yeah.
So, like, that makes sense. But I was happy for them for doing what they've always been doing. Because people say about Book of Mormon, it's for people who don't like musicals.
Right. Oh, okay.
But it sticks to a lot of the formulas of musicals, and it's made by guys who put musical numbers into South Park constantly.
Yeah.
South Park is a musical. South Park the movie is a musical, and so is Book of Mormon. All these people that like were like, you know, I can't believe I enjoyed a musical. You've been enjoying them doing musicals all this time.
This was their way of being,
you
like,
know,
see
the musical numbers on The Simpsons. Everything that people think isn't a musical, when a musical number happens, they fucking dig it, and then they slag musicals for being lame.
Yeah, that's not
cool. It annoys
cool.
me. Because I love musicals so much. I don't
me
know
too.
Why, you know, why it's seen as such a like, oh, you're gay if you like that. I don't get that at all. Because there's so much going on. Like a shitty musical, of course I don't like that.
Yeah, but
you know, you don't
so
know until you're there.
Ones. Yeah.
You know? But the good ones are so good because it's like people will go see bands play and then go, I hate musicals. And it's like, why do you, the band has no story linking the songs. Like it's such a, and they have no sets and costumes
no,
and effects.
It's so entertaining.
There's so many things going on.
So good.
They're trying so hard to entertain you now. They have, did you see the reboot of Pippin?
I didn't see that, no, but I've seen
it's
Pippin.
It's fucking Cirque du Soleil. They even made Andrea Martin, she won a Tony for it, because she fucking does that same thing that Pink does in all of her shows with the drapes,
uh-huh.
where you get rolled up in them and you're only supporting yourself way up in the air by your own weight and your own skills. They got that from SCTV, Andrea Martin. She's like fucking 70 or 60 something.
Oh yeah, I actually just did an episode of a show that she was in and she was fucking funny.
She's the best.
She's so funny.
She's so good.
She's
you got to
cool.
go back and watch her stuff because
oh,
she's
man.
She's
yeah,
been amazing for forever.
That's what everyone says.
And she like brought the house down with this number where she did this circus shit while she's singing. And she's you know, she's the in the show, she's a grandmother.
Oh, my god!
Singing about, you know, God, I can't think of the words, but it's a really fun, happy song. And, I love that shit. So,
what are some of your favorite musicals?
Well, it's funny that you didn't like a Book of Mormon, because when people ask me what ones I like, I usually mention it. But I also like, I just like, you know, the other thing about musicals is you got to catch a production of it that's mm-hmm. good. You know, like I know which movies are classic musicals.
Chicago.
You know? Yeah, yeah, but then that the stage version of Chicago
not as good.
It's different.
It's different.
It's
that
very
movie
different.
Is like the greatest experience of all time.
Well,
in my
the
opinion.
Movie did a great job of taking what was in the stage show and making it cinematic. When you see the stage show. They didn't change that much, really, but for some reason in the movie, all the, like, kind of dialogue where people are just describing what's happening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's a musical where there truly is, in the movie version, there's a bunch of dialogue. And when you go see it on Broadway, it's mostly just announcements. Like, they just kind of sort of introduce stuff. It's a Bob Fosse thing. Like, and now a number about hatred. And then they do the song, you know? And it makes the story move forward. And but I saw B.B. Newworth and what's her now I can't think of her name. Damn it.
I feel like I know who you're thinking of.
But she choreographed this reboot of Chicago that's been going forever. And it's such a good show that like they just keep taking like who's the latest one? Oh, it's Moesha.
Oh, really?
Yeah, what's her real name? Her name's not Moesha.
It's not. I know Ashley Simpson was in Chicago in London at one point.
They could just drop anybody in. You know, certain parts are more demanding than others in that show, and they can make adjustments to the choreography, and they can just get people in there. And but it's a terrific show. If you've never seen it, you know, or if you've maybe seen the movie and then see the show because you're excited. I mean, that's why it keeps going because of the movie. Same with Mamma Mia and Les Mis.
I didn't like the movie of Mamma Mia as much, though. Like, Chicago for me, and I agree with you, the musical itself live wasn't as fun, but it was still great because you love that music so much from the movie, at least.
And the choreography.
Yes.
It's really about the dancing and the music, and there's not... You know, there's not like that's what they did that was great with the movie is they put all those characters in the real situations, but they also they left open the idea of like this these fantasy moments of them all singing about what's happening to them.
Right.
You know,
in my mind, like Chicago, the musical, the movie, like it's a kind of thing that there's nothing else in its. It has no competition. Like, I don't know any other movie musicals that are anywhere near as good. If you disagree, please tell me, because I would love to know of more fun experiences. But it's to me, there's nothing. Like, I didn't
You've
like...
You've never seen Cabaret, the movie?
I think I've tried to watch it, and it's, like, too dated for me, maybe.
Maybe. Too much.
Mamma Mia was too cheesy.
Mamma Mia is super cheesy. And casting Pierce Brosnan was weird.
It's all
because he's like Mamma Mia, you know, like his singing's not great. You know, Russell Crowe in Les Mis was misfire too.
I didn't see that one because I'm not as into dramatic musicals.
Oh, okay. You like a lighter, more fun.
Yeah, although like, I guess Chicago's not a comedy.
When I first saw The Producers with Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick, I thought it was the best thing I ever saw. The movie version didn't work out so good.
The movie I enjoyed because that's all I had ever seen.
Right.
But yeah, I can imagine that.
It was weirdly filmed. It was like they should have adapted it more instead of just trying to
film a play.
Yeah.
That's a really weird choice.
Yeah, especially considering it started as a movie that didn't seem like it was a filmed play.
Yeah, that is so weird.
And then they made it into a musical that didn't seem like it was just... Like, they've really gotten crazy with every classic movie is going to be made into a musical now. And and it's real hit or miss, but the thing I dislike the most about it is when it's a classic that I know and I'm just sitting there and it's familiar to the point where it's not fun.
Ugh.
Because there's just no surprises to it.
Yeah. Well, did you see Beautiful, the Carole King musical?
Yes. Love it.
It's like, that is the greatest experience.
I loved it.
That's one of my top five, like, best times of my life.
I can't recommend that one highly enough because she had a great life. She made a lot of great songs. Ugh. It's just everything about it.
The girl, the star.
It's very,
of it
it's,
is so
I think
good.
It's very similar to, without having seen it, the Jersey Girls.
Jersey Boys. Jersey Girls.
Beautiful is Jersey Girls, but just one girl. But the same kind of like, you know, like the story's interesting and like they have good dialogue and stuff, but like enough songs that just like get to the next song and it tells the story.
And it's going on tour, which I'm totally going to see it again.
Did you see it with the woman that won the Tony for it?
Yes, I did. And she was so, she just blew my mind.
I was kind of thinking the show might suffer by her not being in it.
I kind of think that too, but I'm still willing. This music is so good. I'm willing to give it a try.
Have you seen any of the Hedwigs?
No.
I saw Neil Patrick Harris.
How was that?
Amazing.
Oh, he seems amazing.
He won the Tony.
Jeez.
Like that guy, he
should be the president.
He's probably the person I'm most jealous of in terms of talent. Because he can sing and dance and do magic and be funny. And
what did you think of him in Gone Girl?
It was weird.
Yeah.
It was just
such
like,
a weird
it was
part.
Distracting that it was him. And,
that's a very good point.
Yeah. Because it's just like, I am perfectly happy to just assume every character in a movie isn't necessarily played by a gay or straight person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
But there's too much media to make you go, oh, Neil Patrick Harris, and not think he's pretending to not be gay.
Yeah.
You cannot not think it, which doesn't necessarily make it, you know, bad. It's just if they had put somebody else in there, I might not have had that moment of stepping out of the movie, but I also know it's just a movie, so why should I even care?
I think that whole part of, you're right. I think that whole part of the movie was kind of a misfire for me. I don't know. It just, I wanted it. I
just
don't know.
His behavior in general, that he was just like happy to have her back at any cost. Like he was willing to put up with anything.
He wasn't like pathetic. Neil Patrick Harris
was almost like a gay guy who didn't even know he was gay and was fascinated with this woman.
He just is never going to be pathetic enough, I think, to be Desi. Is that his name? I think maybe it's also just hard when you've read a book and then you see the movie. It's like,
and the character was like so slick and he had such a great place and he was in good shape and everything. So it's kind of hard. It's just weird that like she got the drop on him, you know, and just suddenly murdered him. Spoiler!
Happened so fast. I
saw you look at the time. How are we doing?
We're good.
Oh, we're doing good.
I wanted to ask you, because I wanted to get your professional movie opinion. What is your take on the Ben Affleck Batman situation? Because I'm so
excited.
It's
a situation.
I'm so excited. But
you think he's well cast?
I'm not good at knowing that stuff, but I'm sorry. I love everything. I love the movies he makes, the movies he's in. I love him. He's so good. Why?
Argo?
Yes. Gone, baby, gone.
He went around.
The Town. Come on.
But when he was making Argo, he was embarrassed by his... When he went out into the world and wasn't on the Argo set, he was embarrassed by his haircut and his beard in that movie. And I think he looks awesome in that movie.
Wait, how do we know he was embarrassed?
You know, stupid things I read or interviews I saw.
Yeah.
Like, I just remember taking away that he was like, oh, I had to look like that for 3 months or whatever.
That's so weird.
And it's just like, I thought he looked cool in that movie.
Yeah.
And as far as him being Batman, he's fucking got the chin. How many great movies does he have to be in and make to get the respect that, I just think that no matter who you say is going to be Batman, could they have said? Can you think of one?
No.
Who is the person that if they said, this is the next Batman, people will go, yes.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
And if it's a guy that nobody's heard of, they're also going to complain. Because we haven't heard of this guy. Why is he playing Batman?
Yeah.
But, you know, like, nobody... How bad was the backlash on Henry Cavill playing Superman? I don't even remember.
Oh, I don't even know that one.
I just think people have decided to hate Ben Affleck.
Like,
there's people out there just have made a decision.
He's so good.
I'm going to hate this guy.
He's so good at everything.
Well, that's maybe part of what it is jealousy. He and Matt Damon won Oscars when they were 15.
Right. He's just a little wunderkind. I will say I was at a party that he was at once, and he did touch a lot of women's butts inappropriately.
Who did?
Ben Affleck.
We're still talking about Ben Affleck. He go around and pat butts?
I think he was grabbing butts, yeah.
Was he drunk?
Maybe. I think it was also like the night he won whatever.
Won something?
Maybe.
He won best butt grabber? That's hilarious. I love stuff like that. Like today I just learned that Gene Hackman's an asshole.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Unexpected. So weird. Makes no sense.
Yeah, he's so great, but I guess he was a real pain in the ass to deal with.
Well, wait, did you hear that about Fury Road, about Tom Hardy, that he like apologized to the director because he was difficult?
That's interesting.
Did someone make that up, maybe? Because
I wouldn't blame him for being difficult, because Mad Max is not the star of that movie. It's Charlize Theron's movie.
That's
true. He's just running around in it.
But he's also amazing in it.
He's just great. I like that guy a lot.
He's a cute little puppy. He just is in every way.
I like him. I recently said he's never been likable in a movie, and then I had to reel off every time he's been likable. But he's also a good villain, you know.
He's a great villain.
A day doesn't go by where I don't do an impression of his Bane voice.
And how could you not think he's likable in The Drop?
Yeah, exactly. That's the first one I thought of. I love that movie.
He's so good.
And he's just a sweetie in that movie. And you just are so happy when he finally fucking unloads on people. Cause like, why are you putting up with this?
Tom Hardy, if you're listening, please move.
Come on, Tom Hardy.
Move into my parents' basement with me. We'll never worry about money again.
Don't date Leo DiCaprio models. Break up with
your wife. You don't need to work. Well, this has been really fun.
Holy shit. Yeah, that was a fast hour.
I know. And I hope for the
listener as well.
I hope we can do this again and I can learn more.
I hope everybody got high before listening.
I hope they didn't. So we'll just have to leave
on a disagreement.
All right. Feral
Audio. Hey, everybody, this is Kyle, the host of Never Seen It, the podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read them in studio. This is a clip from Top Gun, which was rewritten and never seen by comedian Caleb Sinan. I think you're really going to like it. Check it out.
All right. Interior. This movie takes place inside. Interior. The Army. I don't know if that's what
there are. I think the person never put a question mark in the location.
Yeah, it says interior, the Army?
I think the Army. Daytime. That's when most of the Army. All right. Tom Cruise walks into a big Army building. There's flags and Army men and manila folders that say top secret on them. It's the goddamn Army, that's for sure. Tom Cruise walks to the Army man break room and kicks in the door. Tom Cruise.
I'm fucking Tom Cruise!
A general with a general hat comes over to Tom Cruise. He's got a cigar in his mouth, and he's a grizzled man. He's been a general for 50 years, and he don't take guff from nobody, especially pretty boys like you.
Look here, I'm a general.
I wouldn't have introduced the character. I wouldn't have made us say what characters we were if I knew the first line everyone had was their name.
I also love that it's the Army. I mean, like, even if you haven't seen the movie, you know it's about planes, right?
Yeah, it's the Air Force for sure.
All right.
No, I didn't say top Air Force or top plane.
Lead back in.
Call it plane.
Give us it, especially pretty boys.
He's a general for 50 years, and he don't take guff from nobody, especially pretty boys like you.
Look here, I'm a general. I got a cigar, and I'm grizzled. I've been a general for 50 years, and I don't take guff from pretty boys like you.
Wow. I feel like I know a lot about your character already.
Shut up, there's more. And I don't care who the hell you are. This is the Army. You can't say fuck. When you say fuck, we say hell high.
The general and Tom Cruise stare at each other for a beat and then both burst out laughing.
Okay, I think I'm going to like it here.
The general and Tom Cruise do a cool, very loud handshake, and the camera zooms in on their gigantic, veiny biceps.
Welcome to the danger zone, bitch.
All right, exterior. We're outside now. On the beach, daytime. Tom Cruise and Kenny Loggins are walking down the beach. They're shirtless. They got hairy chests. They don't have erections, but everybody else does. Even babies. That's right. These dudes are hot. Anyway, there's a bunch of Army men around.
That's the first time that's ever been appropriate for the directions to say, anyways.
Anyway, there's a bunch of Army men around, and the general's there, too.
Want entertainment designed just for you? Then check out customizable streaming TV from Xfinity. It makes your life simple, easy, awesome.
Xfinity gives you customizable streaming TV options. Enjoy the most free shows anywhere on any device, and even access your streaming apps right on your TV with X1. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today to learn more. Restrictions apply.